Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to the Score programme here on Highland. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock, and between now and eight, I'll be joined by former championship winners Brendan Kilcoyne and Martin McHugh to discuss this evening's Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Club Championship draws, which are taking place. They're just about to get underway. The senior draw is expected to be made around about 20 past 25 past 7. And when we get details of that, we will, of course, bring it to you. Frank Craig talks Donegal's involvement in the upcoming UFC fight nights. We've got a couple of Donegal representatives. One of those, of course, is Joe Duffy next week. He goes into the octagon. Well, this coming weekend, John Hutchinson, well, he is originally a Bunkranaman, and he's now coached to Peter Yan. We'll be talking to Frank Craig about the prospects coming up over the next two weekends for the Donegal men involved in UFC. And shortly we'll be hearing from Funharp Secretary Cathy Taff on how the club have been working through their return to play. It's the Score programme through until 8 o'clock. Just some of today's sports stories: horse racing, Donegal jockey Oisin Orr, and indeed Martin Harley to that extent, both taking up wins today. Orr had victory this afternoon in Navan in the second last race of the day, the 350 Bohirim Handicap. Oisin was on board tied off time for trainer Edward Lynham. Orr pushed hard in the final furlong to bring the horse home first at a good 10-1 price. While Martin Harley picked up a ninth one since racing returned, with victory this evening at Chepstow on board the 7-1 shot, Burning Cash. Harley went clear in the final furlong to take victory for trainer Paul Midgley in the first race of the day, which was the 5 p.m. Maiden Stakes. There is, of course, soccer cross channel. Leeds United back top of the championship. They beat Stoke this evening by 5-0. Everton and Southampton in the Premier League are 1-1. Bournemouth and Tottenham, they're currently scoreless. Both those games just started the second halves. Aston Villa play Manchester United at 8:15 in another of those fixtures. So then, we're going to turn our attention now to UFC, and there is, of course, action coming up now over the next number of weekends involving a number of Donegal, well, representatives. One's a fighter, one's a coach. Joe Duffy returns to the octagon for the first time since March 2019, next weekend in Abu Dhabi in one of the Fight Night series. He's in the prelims, and he's looking for a victory, having suffered two defeats in the bounce in the UFC. But before that, John Hutchinson is in the corner of Peter Yan, the Russian who's going for a title this weekend. Hutchinson, a former professional boxer, is of course the strike coach to the Russian, and he's hoping to be part of a team that's going to win a title this coming weekend. Frank Craig of the Donegal News has a big interest in the mixed martial arts, and earlier today I spoke to him about the two Donegal men involved.
I suppose for Joseph, suffered a couple of, I suppose, debilitating injuries, and it's kept him out for the best part of a year and a half. He kind of came into the UFC under some big fanfare, of course, because he had scored that victory over Conor McGregor back in Cage Warriors in 2010. Probably hasn't gone the way he'd have liked it, Oisin. I think he had a 4-1 run at the time he was meant to have fought Dustin Poirier. They were meant to headline in Dublin. I think he got concussed in the lead-up. Obviously, that wasn't the main event then. I think they were building him and pushing him towards maybe a fight or a homecoming fight against Conor McGregor, because the USC had seen the potential in Ireland maybe to stage an outdoor venue or an outdoor event. And, of course, McGregor's maybe popularity was at its apex that time. But I think Joseph didn't uphold his end of the bargain. And I think the UFC were and Dana White were probably pretty annoyed that he had managed to get concussed maybe 3 or 4 days out from a main event fight. The punishment for that was that fight on the next card, the next event, was down in the preliminary rounds, not even televised. And I think it's the difference between preliminary rounds and main event fights. You're going from 3 rounds to 5. And in 3 rounds, I think Dustin Poirier was ahead on points. But I think at the time, Joseph Duffy had actually got him into an armbar submission hold, but just the bell had actually rung. And I think over 5 rounds, maybe Joseph Duffy would have got the better of Dustin Poirier. And that fight really would have catapulted him up into, I suppose, main event status and looking at a big fight somewhere with Conor McGregor. It's been a long road back, as we said, you know. London, March 2019, Mark DeCheesy, you know, dangerous fighter as well. And to be fair, he doesn't shriek challenges, but a very capable fighter, lost that there fight. So long road back from injury. This is a big event on Saturday week for him. You know, he needs to get back, and not just one, but maybe one in convincing manner. And a lot of eyes on these fight nights, because of course, the UFC were back before anybody. They'd been holding closed door events in America and grabbing a lot of attention with them there. So fingers crossed. I mean, it would be great to see him get back up that there ladder and maybe maneuver himself into some of those bigger fights that are in that division.
Yep. He is back on the prelims. Joel Alvarez from Spain is the opponent. Duffy's record going into this one, 16-4. Alvarez, 16-2. Would they be as well matched as what their stats are suggesting, Frank?
Similar enough records, but actually all those fights wouldn't be in the USC. They'd be split across a number of different promotions. Professional, they're still under a professional banner. So, I mean, that there probably cover a multitude of sins. I know Joseph Duffy with Cage Warriors, a very, very high standard and between UFC. So his record at 16-4, I think, stands up to very good scrutiny. Joel Alvarez, maybe not so much because, of course, maybe the domestic promotions in Spain, still professional, but not at that same level, elite level that Cage Warriors or UFC would be at. So listen, reading between the lines and looking at some of Joel Alvarez's performance in the UFC, I'd expect Duffy maybe to win this here on Saturday week and maybe win it, you know, with maybe a knockout or submission.
Yeah, 32 years of age now is Joe Duffy. As we said at the start, quite possibly is this the last chance for him, and he needs to win to get out of prelim territory at the weekend. So is there added pressure now more so on Duffy than what there has been previously in the promotion?
Depends what way you look at it. I mean, he comes to fight and he's popular with the UFC support and he's popular with UFC management because the UFC, in terms of, unlike boxing, they're not as protective of their records and losses as they might be. And listen, it's all under the one umbrella. We know boxing can get quite messy with so many organizations, so many belts, but the UFC, it's more of a dictatorship under maybe the one authority. And in that their way, I think with getting in and making money, the purses aren't as big. So being in the preliminary round, this is a career for Joseph where he has to get in and get out and make money. And boxing, I suppose, if you're boxing for world titles and earning those six-figure sums, that's great. So, I mean, I spoke to him there a number of weeks ago before this fight was announced. And he'd been hoping to get on these fight night events in Abu Dhabi because they were advertised at that stage. And, of course, listen, a one, as we said, would be a huge help. But I think he is popular. But again, it's about making money for him. And staying a professional, being under the UFC, mightn't be as attractive and as remunerable as some people might think because you have to pay for so much of your own stuff. A lot of the things, and when you see what a fighter costs in terms of training camp and all, that all comes out of his own purse. So your chatting purses of 60, 70 grand. I mean, it sounds great, but when you're in training camp for maybe 6 weeks, you're paying nutritionists, trainers, and all that there kind of stuff. Soon eats away at that there. So listen, yeah, it's an important fight, but maybe not so far in terms of his future at the UFC, but maybe in terms of working his way in or maneuvering his way into maybe a top 10 bracket where he can get maybe some of the bigger slices of some of those payouts.
Yep. You mentioned boxing there. Joe Duffy was a handy boxer too, so he was.
Brilliant boxer, and that would be his strength. But of course, I mean, MMA is such a rounded game. I mean, you're incorporating wrestling, you're incorporating so many of the mixed martial arts disciplines. So striking's one thing. And we've seen him with Conor McGregor. You know, you need to be fit to mix it up. Striking gets you so far. But listen, with Joseph, I know he's training with a lot of wrestling training partners. Of course, striking's his main strength. Good kickboxing as well. So listen, he can mix it up, but it's a tough game, Washington. Yeah. You watch those fights and it's a very unforgiving, tough arena.
Yeah, well, we don't get that much of a chance or an opportunity to speak about MMA. And in the space of a week, there's going to be two Donegal men involved in UFC fight nights. A former professional boxer from Donegal, from his show originally, John Hutchinson, is now in a coaching role. And he's going to be involved this weekend against his fighter's going to be taking on a man that Conor McGregor knew very well. Tell us a bit more, Frank.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, just I suppose, just from some perspective. We talk about Western fighters who maybe that stand-up boxing style, you know, will look to the East to find some help in terms of their wrestling. It works the other way around over there. I mean, Peter Yan's Russian, probably very good wrestling background, probably needs to improve his technique or his striking game. So, of course, people like John Hutchinson, a good pro from Bunkrana, he's at the Tiger Muay Thai Club. And these kind of guys, there's a real loophole for them to get into the MMA world. John Hutchins is striking coach. Of course, Peter Yan has taken on Jose Aldo, who we know from, I suppose, a legend in UFC. Of course, Conor McGregor famously beat him for the middleweight title 3 or 4 years ago. This is for the bantamweight title at the weekend. So John Hutchinson in the corner of Peter Yan, that's pretty big and a great wee story.
Yeah, and it's another coach from Ireland. Of course, we all speak about John Kavanagh. Maybe this is the start of, well, he's been on it now a couple of years, hasn't he, John Hutchinson? So maybe now this is the big break within the promotion that he needs.
Ah, yeah, Irish MMA is its stock is pretty huge. John Kavanagh is behind that there. But in terms of just boxing and striking too, I mean, Ireland, would be up there on the map all over the world. So it's nice wee niche where somebody maybe had a professional, boxing background can carve a way out or, a route somewhere else in the MMA. And looking forward to it. Listen, Northwest, you see the Gracie coach in there in Letterkenny. Of course, it's just across the border in Strabane. James Goller as well is another lad that's part of that there, SBG training club in Dublin, with obviously likes of Conor McGregor, the most famous athlete there, but John Kavanagh, his stock is huge. So I think Northwest MMA, the future looks pretty bright for it, and I suppose over the last 3 or 4 years, because MMA, particularly under UFC, has gone so mainstream, there's much more interest in it now, Oisin, than there would have been, say, 6, 7, or 8 years ago. It is very much a closed organization, but it's huge now. Its popularity all over the world is massive.
Listen, Frank, we might give you the title of Highland Radio's MMA correspondent. How would that sit?
Yeah, listen, why not? Listen, I'll watch anything. Oisin, okay. I'll watch anything.
Listen, Frank Craig of the Donegal News, thanks for joining us.
Chat soon, Oisin.
Okay, Frank Craig, Highland's new MMA correspondent, talking all things UFC. Well, the championship draws are here for the club championship here in Donegal are taking place at the moment. They're just about to start to pick out the groups for the pools, rather, for the senior championship. But we do know the two groups for the intermediate championship in 2020. In Group A, it will be Buncrana, Niamh Wara, Niamh Columbkill, Niamh Ulton, Killigordon and Mallon. While in Group B, it's Eirua, Niamh Columba, Fanad, Clohanilly, Niamh Breed and Burt. So they are the two groups for the Intermediate Football Championship. Once again in Group A, Buncrana, Niamh Wara, Niamh Columbkill, Niamh Ulton, Eirua Killigordon and Mallon. And then we've got Eirua Ballyshannon, Niamh Columba, Fanad, Clohanilly, Niamh Breed and Burt are the two groups for the Intermediate Football Championship. And of course those fixtures will be confirmed by the CCC, who will be playing who very, very soon indeed. We do of course have the senior draw to come. It's happening at the moment and we will have details for you very, very soon. I'll be joined by Martin McHugh and Brendan Kilcoyne to discuss those draws. In the meantime, we're going for a break, but when we come back we'll get the latest as to what's happening around Finn Park.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score here on Highland. Almost 22 minutes past 7 o'clock. We can confirm the two groups in the Donegal Senior Club Championship. The fixtures, the draws now for the opening two rounds are taking place as I speak. But Kilcare have gone into Group A along with St. Noel's, Bundoran, defending champions Niamh Connell, Killybegs, McCool's, Four Masters and St. Michael's will be in one side in Group A. And then Group B is Milford, St. Eunan's, Terriman, Glenfinn, Glenswally, Gweedore, Ardrah and Dunloe. So there's going to be two of the big four in each of the groups for the draw, which is happening now in Group A. They will be playing at home and they will meet a team from Group B. And the second round, the team from Group B will be at home with the team drawn from Group A away. And they're going to stay in them pools, we understand, in Group A's and B's for the draws throughout the opening four rounds. So Kilcare, St. Noel's, Bundoran, Niamh Connell, Killybegs, McCool's, Four Masters and St. Michael's in Group A. Milford, St. Eunan's, Terriman, Glenfinn, Glenswally, Gweedore, Ardrah and Dunloe are the teams in Group B. Now they're almost done. Yeah, they're done for the almost done for the round one. So there's just a couple of more fixtures to do. I can tell you Four Masters will play Gweedore in round one. Killybegs against Glenfinn. McCool's meet Ardrah. Glenties take on Milford, Bundoran St. Eunan's and St. Michael's against Glenswally. That is the first six games in round one
of the Donegal Senior Football Championship. We've got Kilcar against Termon also in round one. And the last of the eight fixtures in the first round, it's going to be St. Michael's at home against, or St. Noel's, excuse me, at home against Dunloe. So that is the first round of the Donegal Senior Football Championship, the draw taking place as we speak. The second round is going to happen now in the next few moments. As we wait on that, we're going to talk soccer. We're about 3 weeks out from the resumption of the League of Ireland Premier Division season, which swings back into action on Friday the 31st of July. The season has been reduced to 18 games, with 14 left to play for Harps. The fixtures are due to be released this week, but there's still no sign of them. A lot of meeting and discussions have taken place in recent weeks to iron out the agreement to resume the league, while Finn Park will undergo work so games can be played in Ballybuffet. Earlier today, I caught up with Secretary of Finn Harps Football Club, Cathy Taft, to give us an update as to where things stand as we get closer to getting back to football. A lot going on around the club at the moment as you continue to, go through your return to play protocols and getting everything in place for the resumption of football at Finn Park. You had the fundraising initiative, which you launched a number of weeks ago. It's all about getting certain areas of Finn Park upgraded so that you can play matches at home under the guidelines. Maybe you'll give us an idea of where things are sitting at fundraising wise and the work that has to come.
Yeah, I will. We have two things. Our only source of income throughout the shutdown has been our 500 club, and I have to say thank God for it. And we've been building that, and it has actually strengthened during the lockdown, and that's all due to Trevor Gordon and his amazing efforts and all of our media and commercial team. So that's built and strengthened. And then in order that we can get back to playing at Finn Park and be compliant with the government or public health COVID-19 guidelines, we need to upgrade our facilities. So Ivan Harvey's brainchild was a GoFundMe, and we've set a limit of 30,000, and today we're up over 23,000, which is really amazing and very humbling, because you know that's come from locals who are invested in Finn Harps, who are interested in seeing football back, and you know the generosity has just been, you know, our Finn Harps supporters and fans. I mean, they're worldwide, and we've had support from other clubs in the league as well. So it's been it's been an interesting fundraiser, but it's certainly set us put us in a good place to be able to push ahead and to put in place what we need in order to be ready to play on the 31st of July.
Has the work, that much needed work, started yet?
Lots of background and preliminary work has happened. I mean, you know, you just don't take something and drop it there. You know Finn Park, and you know the challenges we have in terms of space and even the ground. So a lot of the preparatory work has happened. We've sourced the new dressing rooms, new shower block, and all of that is coming, should be on site the end of next week, the beginning of the following week, and then, you know, it'll just be a push to get it up to scratch and just, you know, ready to open the doors and allow our team and management and those that need to be in there to be in there. And that includes something that we haven't had the luxury of having before, which is a dedicated medical room. So our match night doctors, led by Dr. Paul Armstrong, and we have others, you know, who'll be there when Paul can't be with us. So they'll have a dedicated medical room, which is something that for licensing purposes, we've had a derogation on for a long, long time. So it's great to finally have that there.
You're only going to have about 3 weeks or so, or less than that, before the season gets up and run. Is that enough time for the work to be done, Cathy?
It is, because we're not starting from scratch, Oisin. It's, you know, this has been running for about 6 weeks. So a lot of planning, a lot of preparation, and, you know, what's going to come to be put there is, you know, not quite like good to go, but we'll need very little in order for it to be good to go. So, yeah. So it's loads of time.
Yeah. So as of today, then, can we firmly put to bed the idea of Harps having to play their home games somewhere else?
We are absolutely, definitely playing them at Finn Park, as are all of the clubs. I think this has been the huge challenge throughout the lockdown. You know, we've been planning for a restart, and to say that things change daily is not an exaggeration. We had times when you'd wonder what day of the week it was, much less what are the rules today. Really, it's the changes have been in response to the virus and how the virus has progressed and the trend of the virus. And, you know, all of this has been guided by public health. And it's not in the gift of the FAI or in any club to be able to say, this is what we're doing and this is how we're doing it. Public health have been very much in charge. And nationally, Dr. Alan Byrne, who's the doctor with the FAI, sits on a group together with Dr. Tony Houlihan, and I believe the GEA and the IRFU are represented in that group too. So all of the guidelines that we are following have come via that channel, and we're in constant communication with the FAI, you know, engaging with them almost daily. So anything we do, everything we do has to comply with the guidelines that are being handed down to us. And at the minute, and it may change on the July 20th, but at the moment, the rule for all of us is that distancing has to be 2 metres. So that's what we have to comply with in order to be approved to use Finn Park for match nights.
For match nights. And looking at it in relation to spectators, come the first week in August. Before I talk about that, Cathy, you said there's a lot of to and fro going between the FAI. How frustrating is it, as of now we are speaking, that we still don't have a concrete fixture list yet? Because there was talk it may have been Tuesday past that something was coming, but everybody seems to be still up in the air.
That list has been on the way for the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And to be fair to the FAI and to the competitions department there, there's been so much that has caused a change that has caused them to have to stop and maybe revise that schedule, or, you know, maybe start again from scratch, like not least the relegation promotion debate. Would we have the FAI Cup? Would we not have the FAI Cup? I was talking to the FAI yesterday and was, I would say, soundly berated, because I was informed it was the second time this week I'd asked for that fixture list and we would get it when it was ready. So all clubs are to get it. They've said this week. That could be today. That could be close of business tomorrow. We don't know, Oisin, but it really would be nice, because at the moment we're working on the assumption that the schedule that we had when we stopped is the schedule that we start back with, and that might not be the case. So we'd love to have it. We need to have it. It's not just that we like or love to have it. We need to have it.
Well, say it is the case then, Cathy. It might give Harps maybe a wee bit of a cushion of a couple of extra weeks to get the work that needs to be done finished properly, if there's any sort of...
Gosh, and you have so little faith in us, our ability to meet a deadline. It would, of course, but we're not thinking in those terms. We're not.
At that stage as well, where's it going to be with supporters at matches?
We don't know. And again, that's going to be determined by public health, not by any of us. I mean, at the moment, they're saying that by the time we get back to playing, it should be possible to have supporters in our grounds, because if we're observing the 2 metre distancing rule, then we could do that. I don't know that we would race into doing that very quickly. I think we'd need to get, well, this is my preference now, and only my view. You know, we haven't agreed this among the board or with Ollie and the team, but or the management team. But I think let's get at least one game done well at Finn Park, you know, before we have the addition of fans. I know that, and we all know this, and we're all watching the return to football across the water. I mean, it's just, it's kind of grim, really, watching some of those games. You know, so soulless without the fans and without, you know, that interaction and the, you know, the energy they bring. But we might, I mean, we might not just have to sacrifice a game in order to be sure that we have everything else right.
Yeah. Speaking of supporters, they've been finding unique ways and sort of quirky ways to help out the club during this lockdown period since March. And that's something that the club is very grateful for, Cathy, because it's been very, very impressive.
They've been amazing. I mean, there's some great initiatives. We've had a number of draws. Adrian Ferry kicked it off way back. And I'm conscious now, if I start naming names, I'll miss someone and be in trouble. But and Mark Anderson and Brandon Connolly with the FIFA competition, that apparently was something, you know, unique in that people engaged with, fans engaged with very well. You know, Alan Kelly raffled off a signed jersey. So, you know, all those were, you know, they were very generous things, because these are, you know, prized Finn Harps and Republic of Ireland and, you know, international match possessions that these young supporters were very happy to sacrifice and, you know, to raffle to bring us in much needed funds while we had very few other sources of income. So we're delighted to have that they've done that. And honestly, it was amazing generosity.
Yeah. What about the pitch in Finn Park? I would say it's in fine shape.
Yay.
Sort of.
My pet project at the minute. The pitch is getting there. It's definitely had a huge amount of work. And, you know, I think the one, for me, one of the positives of this break has been that we've been able to do work on the pitch at a time of year when it's more conducive to doing work on the pitch. You know, we had that 9 weeks of amazing weather and, you know, we've had massive work done on it. We've been working with pitch consultants, and there's a program of for the pitch, and that's continuing last week and this week. Actually, they're going to be back early again next week to complete some of that. I hope. I don't know. He might well tell me that there's yet more to do, but it's looking well, and it's great. That's been certainly been a positive, and we're delighted to have it in a condition where it should see us out through a series of winter games, because you know, chances are we'll have the usual challenges of wet and frost and snow before we finish up in November.
Yeah. Speaking of pitches, the new stadium has been highlighted in the last number of weeks as well. There's a new sports minister in the country. Have Finn Harps already made the move to the top table in government that this project in Stranraer has to be made priority, Cathy?
We have indeed. We've done that a number of ways. We've reached out to our five TDs in the county and to Senator Niall Blaney, and we've written to them, and we've had a great response to them. A number of them have come back. You may have seen Piers Doherty's message this week in relation to the pitch. Charlie McConnell has come back and asked for permission to engage directly with the minister on our behalf. We believe that we have been told that our pitch project is just awaiting sign off from the minister. So, and Charlie McConnell has come back, as has Piers Doherty, to say that I'm sure a very big pile on the minister's desk, but that it's there. I know Piers Doherty has asked for a meeting directly between the Harps Stadium Committee and the minister and junior minister. Now, I don't think he's had a response to that request for a meeting yet, but yeah, lots is being done. I mean, they were.
Does it give you confidence, Cathy, of what's going on at the moment?
Oh, well, it has to. I mean, you know, we have to believe what we're being told. Now, maybe I'm naive in thinking that, but yeah, we've a very good committee there led by Paul McLoone, and I mean, they've been doing amazing work, and they haven't stopped during the lockdown. And what amazed me was the amount of to and fro and between the Department of Sport, the FEI, and themselves, you know, in relation to addendums to the submission that was made. You know, there's certainly, it seems to me that every I has been dotted and every T has been crossed. So, you know, there's nothing left to submit to them. It's just a matter of, will they fund it? And more importantly, will they fund it completely? Because any kind of a deficit in funding would leave us in a very bad position. It would leave us in a position where we'd be struggling. You know, we'd like not to see us get so far with it and not be able to complete it. And what's very encouraging too is the new board of the FEI. Gary Owens has set up a number of groups, and they're looking at specifically facilities, competitions, marketing and media rights and the participation agreement. And we have representation on three of those groups, and Paul McLoone is on the facilities group. But Gary Owens has a proposal that he's going to bring to the department. I don't know, maybe I'm speaking out of school or maybe I'm not. I'll not give too much of the detail in case I am, and that's that we would look at the facilities that exist in all soccer grounds around the country, and that, you know, that there would be a 5 to 10 year plan in order to upgrade those and get them to UEFA Category 3, Category 4 status. So that's exciting. So ours is the only football or soccer stadium project that is good to go if we get funding in the morning. So and you know, and it's a bargain, because apparently it's we need a bargain, I suppose, when you say it's over 7 million, but the next nearest project, you know, comparably is Semple Stadium, and that's going to come in at a cost of 11 million. So we're far away from that. So
Hopefully things will start to move on that front really, really soon, Cathy. Yeah. Just finally, away from sort of off-pitch matters, the guys are training away.
They are.
You've met a few of them, and you've mingled with them and spoke to the management.
Yeah.
What's the atmosphere like at the moment?
Oh, it's like a party without all of the bad food and the alcohol. it was so lovely. They're very upbeat. I mean, it was great to see them all back. They were so excited to be back. You know, they're delighted to be back in training. That's what these men do. You know, they're footballers and they want to be playing football. And it's been great. It's just been great fun to see them all back and to see the enthusiasm that they have for playing and the drive to push on and just get back and, you know, and make this, you know, the year that we were expecting it might be when we started off in February. So it's the atmosphere is brilliant. It's absolutely great.
Okay. So next time I'm talking to Ollie Horgan, I can ask him how's the party going.
No, oh, cranky. Well, you could. I know. I'd be interested in that answer. No better man to respond to you, I tell you.
Brilliant, Cathy. Many thanks for talking to us.
I'm sure. Can I just add one other thing? Throughout the shutdown, our lotto hasn't been able to operate. And Charlie McHugh and Sean Doherty just very skillfully and masterfully operate our lotto every single year. And last year, it drew in over 50,000 in profit for us, which was phenomenal and like very much needed funds. So in the absence of the lotto, what we are encouraging people to do is maybe contribute to the GoFundMe. And online isn't everybody's thing, but we have we can accept donations in the office, and we will have somebody there tomorrow and on Saturday, and there's somebody there most days, you know, if anybody wants to contribute a few pounds. And like from our perspective, every €5 matters, and you know it would make a huge difference to us. And then there's the added incentive for anyone who can afford a little bit more. Any contribution of €50 or over is entered into a 500 club, and that draw happens every week. And it's you know, the top price is 300, so that's happening this evening. So that's the clubhouse will be there. You know, there's somebody there just for anybody who might like to support us, but you know, hasn't been in a position to because they're just not savvy with the online contribution process.
Okay. Good to talk to you, Cathy. We'll speak to you in the coming weeks, I'm sure, again.
Oisín, thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Take care.
That's Cathy Taff, Secretary of Finharps Football Club. Okay, we're going for a break. When we come back, we'll be discussing the Donegal Senior Intermediate Football Championship draws for 2020. They have been made. Details after these.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Well, it's all about the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Championship draws for 2020 between now and the end of the programme. Brendan Kilcoyne, who's won the championship with St Eunan's as a player and a manager, and Martin McHugh as a player with Kilcar, are joining us to discuss the pairings for the 2020 senior campaign. We'll be speaking with those two guys in just a second. What we'll do is run down through the draws, the entire draws for the championship, which took place within the last 20 minutes. In the senior football championship, there is two pools. In Pool A, Kilcar, St Noel's, Bundoran, Neave Connell, Killybegs, McCool's and Four Masters and St Michael's. In Pool B, it's Milford, St Eunan's, Termon, Glenfinn, Glenswally, Gweedore, Ardrah and Dunlow. So effectively what that means, in each of the group there is two of the big four, and those sides will stay in those groups for the respective draws for the next four rounds. The first two rounds have been made, and the Pool A teams will all have home advantage in round one. The Pool B teams are away from home. The first round draw, which will be on, the games will be played on the August Bank Holiday weekend. Four Masters against Gweedore, Killybegs, Glenfinn, McCool's, Ardrah, Glenties v Milford, Bundoran against St Eunan's, St Michael's v Glenswally, which is probably the tie of the round, Kilcar welcome Termon, and Dunlow are on the road to St Noel's. The second round draw has also been made. It's been flipped around because Pool B sides are now at home. The draw was made and it sees Glenswally at home to Four Masters. The tie of the round, two ties of the round actually, in Pool 2, in round 2 rather. Glenties, the defending champions, Neave Connell, they're going to make the short trip to Ardrah, while St Eunan's are going to play host to Kilcar at the O'Donnell Park. The other games are Dunlow against McCool's, Glenfinn play St Noel's, Gweedore against Killybegs, Termon Bundoran and Milford against St Michael's. On to the Intermediate Championship, and there is two groups here. In Group A, Buncrana, Neave Wirra,
Niamh Colum-Kill, Niamh Alton, Eirua Killigordon and Mallon. They will play each other in the opening four rounds. While in Group B, it's going to be Eirua, Niamh Columba, Fanad Gaels, Clohanaily, Niamh Breed and Burt. Looking at the other draws, on to the Junior A Championship. Niamh Padraig Muff, Niamh Wirra Convoy, Pettigo, Uras and Cairn Dunna are in Group A, while Group B is going to be made up of Narossa, Robert Emmets, Letterkenny Gaels, Ladunav and Moville. On to the Junior B Championship. In Group A, it will be Niamh Padraig Lifford, Cairn Dunna, Glen Swilly, Ladunav, Niamh Padraig Muff, Niamh Connell and Niamh Wirra. Group B in the Junior B, Four Masters, McCools, Letterkenny Gaels, Uras, Terman, Eirua and Glenfinn. On to the Hurling Championship. The Senior Hurling Championship, well, there's five teams here. We knew what the five team, who the five teams were, and they're all going into one group. St. Eunan's, Sean McCools, Burt, Buncrana and Satanta. And not forgetting about the Junior Hurling Championship, there's two groups here. St. Eunan's, Cloha, Dunlow, Satanta and McCools are in Group A, followed by Group B, made up of Eirua, Cairn Dunna, Four Masters and Letterkenny Gaels. So there you are. That's the entire draws for the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Club Championships for 2020. Brendan Kilcoyne, a very good evening.
Good evening, Oisin.
And we'll also check to see if Martin McHugh joins us on a line from sunny Kilcar. A very good evening, Martin.
Evening, Oisin.
Well, I suppose, Martin, you're away from home tonight, so we might go to you first of all. Your initial thoughts on the senior championship draw, there's a lot of information in there. There was two draws done, two groups made. What's the standout for you?
Well, I think you said it there, you know, the standout you feel in round one would be St. Michael's versus Glen Swilly. They've had some great battles down this last lucky year, so very interesting, looking forward to seeing that match, you know. Hopefully everything goes ahead, that'll be the most important thing. When it's great, it was time this year we thought, actually, we weren't going to have any draw, but it's great that we have end up having the draw and everything. Clubs looking forward to it. There's a lot of clubs playing a lot of challenge games and everything else. And suppose, as you said, in round two, St. Eunan's, Brendan's club against my own club, Kilcar, that's going to be a big game in O'Donnell Park, you know, because with only four games, it's very important that, you know, you'll have to at least win three of them, I feel, to make it through to the top eight the way it is. So look at the draw is made now and I'm looking forward to it and it'll not be long and clubs are getting ready and everything else. Yeah. But it's good. It's great to see the draw being made and getting it done. Because as I said at the time, we didn't think this would happen. So clubs can now start preparing for matches. I see that actually Gidore play Killy Beggs in the round two down in Gidore and they played each other last weekend. It's a challenge match down in Gidore and Killy Beggs beat them in that game. So yeah, so you never know, you know what's going to happen when a draw comes out. So probably that maybe not a good result for Killy Beggs now when they look at it.
Terman's looking to cause an upset in the opening round, Martin and Tony.
Like Terman, we've played just a fair bit of in this last while, and you were saying to me that we'll have the first game in the Bourne Road, and so you had it right, you had the draw right, but the game's in Towny, and I know Terman are really working hard, I know they're playing a lot of games, and they've a lot of, including your own young lad, a lot of good young fellas coming through there in Terman. They're definitely working hard and they're building it up. So yeah, it'll be a good start. Terman are won the minor championship that up and coming, and you know what, it's going to be a tough game for everybody, but you know, Kilcar are expected to have to win their home game, and that'll be an important one for Kilcar to start a victory. It's a good game for Terman to get not there. Maybe they would have preferred the game at home, but you know, you look at it, you know, they're home to Bundoran and then Terman in the second match. So they're two big games, but it's great for the young lads of Terman to be looking forward to coming down to putting themselves. If you want to make it in Gaelic football, put yourselves against the players that are there. We'll say the Kilcar players are playing county football and that there. Get yourself out there against them. That's what, it's a long time since the late Jimmy Bug told me that the best thing you can do is put yourself against the best player in the other team and find out what you're about. That'll tell you a lot about yourself.
Yeah, well, bring in Brendan Kilcoyne. Before we talk about St. Eunan's, Brendan, the best team in the county in 2020 was Niamh Connell. Can Milford upset the odds on the opening day?
Well, listen, they've a long way to go, to be fair. You know, you go back to the performance against St. Eunan's and was it the quarter final last year, and Eunan's just wiped the floor with them that day. I think it was 5-20 to 11 points or something like that. So listen, it's going to be a big test for them. Now, that said, that wasn't the form that Milford were producing up to that. They had played quite well throughout the league and I expect them to give Eunan's a good test that day. But they were never at the races, and to be fair to Eunice, they just came out of the blocks and they were unstoppable on that particular occasion. So that's going to be a big test for Milford going down. down to Glenties to play the county champions in the first game, undoubtedly they'll need to be pull something out of the hat to get a result down there, because Glenties are very well organised, well drilled outfit that normally don't slip up.
Yeah, and it's funny talking about championship football now, because we really don't have anything to go by, because we haven't seen any of the league in preparation for the championship. Yes, we know how the top four sides are going to line out and what they can bring to the table, but it's the, what the rest of the sides would have been doing in their lead up to the championship is not there, Brendan. So it's
no, we've no form line to go on from the point of view. We haven't seen any competitive football since last year's replayed county final, so it's very hard to get a form line on it. Now, listen, you had the four top teams in the county in the semi-finals last year: Naomh Connell, St Junan's, Kilcar, and Gidore. Gidore are going to come back hungry. They surrendered their crown last year to Naomh Connell after an epic three-game county final. So there's going to be a massive hunger with the lads down there to try and get back top of the heap again. Can Glenties summon up the energy again to drive it forward? Will Kilcar, who were champions a couple of years ago, be able to come back? They have a full force of players back again, with Patrick McBrearty back in full song again, you would like to think. So they really have something to come back and to prove. But they have a very tough encounter against what's a very attractive tie against St Junan's in O'Donnell Park in the second round. So listen, there are a lot of attractive fixtures there. So there are, that Ard Drag Glenties one whets the appetite from the point of view. There's a history there. There's a long standing. And the fact that they are so close to each other, there'll be no love lost in that one. I think, I was thinking about the draw coming in today. Bundoran at home to St Junan's is going to be a difficult tie. You go back to last year's quarter final, Bundoran had Gidore on the rack, so they had for a long time in that game. And, they ended up losing 220 to 217, and it took a late resurgence from Gidore to get them back into the game kind of thing, after being comfortable early enough in the game. I think they were 8 points up at 9 minutes to go. So the Bundoran at home against St Junan is a big tie in that first round of games. But listen, we're starved of competitive football, we're starved of action, so it's nice to have something to look forward to now at this stage of the year. So it is, we're only 3 or 4 weeks out from Bank Holiday weekend in August, and now the teams and the management teams have something to focus on. They know the teams they're going to be playing. Yeah, they're going to have the regional leagues and they'll be lining up challenges. So really, really, I suppose you're looking too, Oisin, at St Noel's coming up playing senior for the first time, and they'll not be too unhappy with their draw. They're home to Dunloe the first day and then away to Glenfinn, so there's something there for them too,
Yeah. Martin, there's not much time to prepare for these games. Squads are going to be crucial, particularly for the early part of the championship, to try and keep sides fresh and fit, because you could run into problems given that there was such a big long break for club players.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. And you just mentioned Milford. Probably, the two games that they got, they're away to Naomh Connell, Glenties, and then they're home to St Michael. So they've got probably the toughest of the two games together, toughest draw. And as I said, squad's going to be very important. And suppose we look at it that saying people, a lot of people saying this year that may say St Junan's will have the strongest squad of players available to them. Now, in saying that, they're going to have to give more support, particularly up front to Niall O'Donnell, Southern Living. When we look at it, and Brendan said the top four teams in the country, and the county, sorry, and but the thing about Junan's is since 2016, see, the other three teams have contested maybe at least one, if not two, county finals. Junan's haven't been in a county final yet, and they are up there. There's no doubt that it's every up there, but I think it's a big year for them. Big year for them to make a break, to make the big breakthrough from their own point of view. But the squad will be very important with injuries and everything else, and picking up injuries and all that there. You feel a squad will make a difference. You feel of the team, suppose, we look at it that St Junan's probably the strongest squad. Naomh Connell would definitely, they have a big squad of players. And, we feel Gidore as, I'm not right now Kilcar, but we would probably struggle with numbers a wee bit in Kilcar in that sense. So that's going to be very important. So, injuries, and that's going to be picking up injuries now. They're not having much time to recover. Actually, it'll be important. But as I say, we're really, really looking forward to it, and looking forward to getting it going. And some of the games are mouthwatering, because teams will fancy themselves, and they will definitely, teams will target certain games to say these are the games we can win in that. And I mean, it's four games. Yeah, the luck of the draw can make a difference that you can win at least three of the four games. So, considering that St Junan's and Kilcar, we're talking of the top teams, are meeting already, that gives other teams definitely a chance to get there.
Yeah, is it more of a level playing field, is it, this time around, Brendan?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I like the format of this. It's interesting. It has thrown up some really interesting fixtures, and we have another draw to look forward to, of two more rounds. So yeah, it definitely has.
And they're going to stay in the same pool, so they are.
And they're going to stay in the same pool, so you know it's one of six teams. Yeah. If you're not playing, you're obviously drawing against two teams, so you can break it down. It'll be one of the other six that you're going to be drawing against going forward. So that'll certainly add a bit of spice to it too after the first two games. But you know, getting a good start in the championship is really important, and you can see the big teams: Naomh Connell, Kilcar, St. Junans, and Gidor will really be looking to get off to a win in their first game, so they will. And the big game of St. Michael's Glen Swilly also is going to be intriguing from the point of view they've had some massive clashes down through the years. You know, you can just recall them, and there were some brilliant games involved there, and some not so brilliant games, but they were still intriguing from a point of view of tightness and all that. So lot to play for all teams, and really, you know, it's going to get the blood flow of the players going over the next couple of weeks, looking forward to these games.
Okay, something I have to ask you guys before we finish up. All the talk this last 2 weeks has been, and particularly from last Friday, has been the club-county stance and players being available to the club. Counties, of course, are looking for them. They're not allowed to have them until the 17th the 14th of September, sorry. Martin McHugh, what's your general feeling on this?
Yeah, well, I've always been, you know, there about the club. I feel it's a very, very important part of it. And I just think I was listening actually to Andy McEntee this morning, the Meath manager, and he was saying that, you know, they were very disappointed in that they're not allowed to have the players at all up until the 12th or 13th of that weekend in September, that they're only going to get the players back. And some teams then are out 2 weeks later. Now, we look at it from the point of view, the Tyrone County final, Donegal will meet Tyrone. The Tyrone County final's on the 20th of September. Donegal's a week later on the 27th. Now, that's, you know, you think that's an extra week for Tyrone's preparation, that they're from their point of view. So I think that every county final should have been tried to be played the one day we could at all possible, because given every team, you know, every county manager fairness and that there. I mean, people say there's some counties still training away, but I think maybe we look at it that if we could work it going forward, is that the county team manager and the trainers and that there, we know, you know, the expertise they have and everything else and the fission that they would drop the training program for the clubs. And the clubs would carry out that training program. Now, people say maybe some clubs find it hard, but the managers or the trainers in the club could carry out that program. And then that the county team took them together at the weekend and they worked on coaching that there. They did their fitness test to make sure of that level. And maybe the other thing, which wouldn't have been a bad idea, you know, to maybe to say the county could have them maybe one night a week. I was thinking this year, maybe a Monday night from the point of view of recovery sessions, everything else from, you know, the club league games. It's understandable, the expertise, you know, and all that there is at county level. I thought maybe that might have been the best decision to made, but they've made a decision now to go with it, that they're going to stay with our clubs and everything else. So I know maybe county managers won't be happy with this here, but we have to go with it. That's the decision that's made. And I think if it was fair to everybody and every county traded the same way and had the county final on the same date and then back to the county and everything else, so I'd say it'd be a wee bit fair in that there. I think, you know, that's what maybe some county managers are not going to be happy with. But definitely there's been a move made that there's not going to be as much training at county level as we are, and hopefully next year.
Yep. As a manager,
I really think next year that they need to make a decision to go with an open draw and do away with the provincial championship to make it fair for every county. It's not fair in the Ulster counties at the minute.
Okay, Brendan, you've got about a minute. You're a man that managed a club to a county title in St. Eunan's. You've also played inter-county football. What's your thoughts on it? Do you agree with the decision by Croke Park?
Listen, I kind of agree with Matt Martins, and it's what I was thinking myself. I don't see any harm in letting the club players, the club basically have the players for the next 8 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever it is. I don't see any, the county level has gone to such a level now that, you know, the county managers need to get their players together one night a week, and I don't see what harm that's doing. The clubs are still have them for the rest of the week. They have them for the weekend, for the games, and for a couple of sessions during the weekend. I think that's loads for the club. Let the county, these guys are so driven, these inter-county footballers are so driven and so focused on success, bringing success and joy to their county, that they need to get that type of work in. And if it's just getting them together for a football game, a match among themselves, one night a week, I can't see what harm that'll do. And I think the GAA need to review that.
Okay, Brendan Kilcoy, many thanks for joining us tonight and keeping an eye over the championship draws. Also, Martin McHugh and Kilcara, thanks for joining me this evening. So that's Martin and Brendan for helping me out on the draw tonight. We now know who will be playing who come championship time in Donegal. There is, of course, soccer matches being played tonight. Everton and Southampton finished up 1-1, a share of the spoils. Bournemouth and Tottenham are into injury time. That is currently 0-0. Manchester United and Aston Villa, they of course get up and running at 8:15. And Brendan's happy and Martin's happy because Leeds United have won their back top of the table of the Championship. They had a victory against Stoke today, going through by winning through by 5-0 to go back to the top of the table. And that's it from another edition of The Score. Thanks to Brendan Martin once again, to Cathy Taff, and indeed to Frank Craig for their contribution on the programme as well. If you missed any of the show, you'll be able to listen back to it shortly online at highlandradio.com. Until the next time, for me, Oisin Kelly, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.